All right. Good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So we begin this week, Kapitel Chof Hei. So let's just take a few moments just to go through the Kapitel. So the David, Elecha Hashem Nafshi Esso. Literally of David to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elecha Hashem, to you Hashem, I lift up my soul. Elokai B'chob Atachti Alevosha. God, I've trusted in you. Let me not be ashamed. We're just going to use the English translation that's right here on the page right now. Al ya'altsu oivai li, nor shall my enemies rejoice over me. Gam kol kovecha lo yevoshu, yevoshu galabog de reikam. Neither shall any of those who hope for you be ashamed. Let those who betray you be ashamed. Pasuk Dalid, Terechecha Hashem hodi'ini, or chosecha lamdini. Teach me, Hashem, about your ways. Instruct me in your pathways. Hadrichini ba'amitecha. Instruct me or lead me in your truth. V'lamdini. Ki ato alokai, you are my God. Yish'i oscha kivisi kol hayom. You are my salvation, and I trust in you throughout the entire day. Zuchora chamecha Hashem v'chasadecha, ki me'olam heima. Pasuk Vav, remember your mercies, O Lord, and your kindnesses, for they have been since time immemorial. Chatosn urai psha'ai al tiskor, don't remember the transgressions of my youth. Kechastecha zechar li ato lamantufcha Hashem, but rather in your chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember me for good. Tov v'yashar Hashem al kein yorech hato'im baderech. Pasuk Ches, the Lord is good and upright, therefore he leads sinners on the road. Yadrech anavim ba'mishpat v'lamed anavim darko. He leads the humble with just rules, and he teaches the humble his way. All the pathways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who are chesed, are true, are kindness, are truth, for those who ultimately keep his covenant. For your name's sake, O Lord, shall you forgive the iniquity, the sinfulness, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will guide him on the road that he chooses. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Nafsho betov talin vizaro yirash aretz. His soul shall abide in prosperity, and his seed shall inherit the earth. Sod Hashem lireyav ubriso lahodiyam. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and his covenant is to let them know. Pasuk Tesvav, Einei tamid el Hashem, ki hu yotzi mi reshes raglai. My eyes are constantly fixated on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He will take my feet out of the net. Pnei elai v'chaneni, ki achid v'ani ani. Please, Hashem, turn towards me and have mercy on me, because I am alone and I am destitute. Soros livavi herchivu mimtsuko sai hotzieni. Pasuk Yezayin 17. The troubles of my heart have increased. Deliver me from my straits. Re'e ani va'amali. See my difficulties, my troubles, my afflictions. V'so l'chol chatosai. And literally, lift up, deliver me. Or I should say, actually, the pasuk over here, so kol chatosai, means forgive all of my sins. Re'e oivai kirabu, see how multiple my enemies are. V'sinas chamas sine'uni. And they hate me with unjust hatred. Pasuk Chaf, Shamra nafshi v'hatzilini al evosh ki chasisi vach. Guard my soul and save me. Let me not be shamed, for I've taken refuge in you. Tom v'yosher yitzruni ki kivisicha. Sincerity and uprightness shall guard me, for I have hoped in you. And finally, Pasuk Chaf Beis, Pidei Elokim es Yisrael mikol tzarosav. O God, redeem Israel from all of its troubles. So, if I were to ask you the theme of this particular kapitel, you would say, again, remember, by now it's a safe answer. You could give this answer for every kapitel of Tehillim, which is, David HaMelech has incredible troubles, incredible difficulty. Again, here, there's an exceptional emphasis on suffering at the hands of the other. David HaMelech, again, and we'll discuss what he's specifically referring to, but David HaMelech is referring to over here this idea that I have suffered at the hands of others so much, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that you are going to redeem me. Okay, so it seems to be a general motif that runs throughout Tehillim. But of course, as we look at this kapitel, there are two things that immediately jump out at us, and they are... I'll give you a hint. It's in the opening pasuk and the last pasuk of the kapitel. What jumps out, especially in light of our last three shiurim? No mizmor. Excellent. Question number one is, we've never seen this before. The kapitel opens up by just saying, L'David. Now remember, we've spoken about before that there are two different formulations in Sefer Tehillim. What are they? Number one, Mizmor LeDavid, or LeDavid Mizmor. So, and remember, we spoke about the idea, LeDavid Mizmor, what's the difference between them? The difference between them is whether or not David was already in a state of inspiration, or whether or not he had to self-inspire. You know, in Chassidus, there's a concept of his orusa dileila and his orusa diletasa. There's inspiration from above and inspiration from below. There's the concept, Rabbi Yitzchak Aberdich discussed this extensively, that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not sometimes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down Shefa, sends down divine energy, and depending on what state you are in when you receive that energy, will depend ultimately on how that energy is used. So there are sometimes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down energy from above to inspire, that's called His Orusa Dile'ela, awakening from above, but there are other times where you have to self-inspire, that's called His Orusa Dile'tasa, inspiration that comes from below. So those are the two paradigms. Le David Mizmor, David is in a state of inspiration, self-inspired, versus Mizmor Le David, where David HaMelech has to go ahead and create inspiration, which through David HaMelech did that through music. Ultimately, again, Mizmor, he gained the music and ultimately awakened David. But of course here, what's unique is we have no other, it's just Le David. It's just a David. So number one, what does that mean? The follow-up question is from the last pasuk. If you'll notice again, so the entire kapitel is phrased in the singular. It's phrased, which of course is not an anomaly, because many of the kapitlach are phrased in the singular. Why? Usually when it's phrased in the singular, what does that tip you off to? I'm sorry? Personal struggle. Remember, we've already pointed out already in past years that there are two different types of kapitlach. Actually, there are three different types of kapitlach. One type of kapitel is where David HaMelech writes about his own life experiences, which is many of the kapitlach in Tehillim. Another type is where David prophetically writes about what is going to happen to the Jewish people in the future. And there's a third type of kapitel, which David HaMelech didn't write at all, but rather David HaMelech ultimately collected. For example, I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that the Gemara brings down that many of the kapitlach that we say as part of Hallel were actually first created by our forefathers at the Yam Suf. And David HaMelech included them in Sefer Tehillim. So the notion that a kapitel Tehillim would be phrased in the singular is not an anomaly at all. It just tells us it refers to something specific in David HaMelech's life. What's unique about this kapitel? The whole thing is singular, Aleph through Chaf Aleph. Until when? Until Pasuk Chaf Beis, where David HaMelech switches into the plural, Pidei Elokim Es Yisrael Mikol Tzarosav. So what's happening over here? We've gone again from the singular in Aleph through Chaf Aleph, 1 through 21, which appears to be David HaMelech talking about his own life, and now Pasuk Chaf Beis, 22, David HaMelech switches to the plural. So that's what we're going to try to focus on today. Understanding, A, what is the LeDavid? The truth is, we're not going to focus as much on the last piece, although we'll do it in subsequent Shurim as well. So I want to start off by giving just an approach that gives a general overview to this kapitel. Take a look at number two. Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch gives just a beautiful insight into this kapitel. He says, the superscription to this psalm is LeDavid, not Mizmor LeDavid, or LeDavid Mizmor. Here, we do not see David gaining inspiration on the wings of song, nor do we have here the outpourings of divine rapture coming from a full heart. Now, what does that mean? So first, says something amazing. LeDavid Mizmor means often David HaMelech was writing in what? In what? In what state? A state of Ruach HaKodesh, maybe even a state of Nevius, right? A state ultimately of incredible spiritual elation. Mizmor LeDavid means David has to self-inspire. So it says Rav Hirsch, it's clear that this kapitel was not written in a Davidic, he calls it a Davidic state of rapture, which means it was not written in a Davidic state of Ruach HaKodesh, nor did apparently David HaMelech have to self-inspire through song. So if it's not either one of those two states, then what state is it? Look what Rav Hirsch writes. He says, in this psalm, David simply states the emotions and thoughts that fill his soul. So this is such a profound idea. See, we often assumed before this kapitel that there were one of two states of David HaMelech. Either a state of spiritual elation, which maybe we could even call a Ruach HaKodesh. Remember again, when I use the word Ruach HaKodesh, Ruach HaKodesh does not have to mean prophecy. So as some of you were here for my Wednesday night Parsha Shir last week, I spoke about this by Sarah Imenu. So the Rashi HaKadosh brings down, he says that Sarah was greater in Nevius. Actually, the Lashon of Rashi is, Melamit Sh'arim Haya Tafel L'Sarah B'Nevius. Rashi's commenting on the pasuk where Sarah Imenu wants to send away Yishmael. Avram Avinu is hesitant. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Avram Avinu? Kol asher tamar elecha Sarah, shma bekola. And Rashi, everything that Sarah tells you, listen to her. And Rashi says, you see from here that what? That Sarah was a greater prophetess than Avram Avinu. So the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzi Yehuda Berlin, one of the Kol Rashi Yeshiva in Balazhin, says, I'm sorry, it makes no sense. How can you say that Sarah was a greater prophetess than Avram Avinu? How many times does HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to Sarah Imenu?
Once.
Maybe once. Maybe once. And that's the time where ultimately the Malachim come and announce the birth of Yitzchak. And what happens? Sarah laughs. And she says, how can I have a kid? My husband is old. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebukes Sarah Imenu. Right? Rebukes him. So it's not even clear from the text if God is actually talking to Sarah, but one thing is clear, which is that even if he is talking to her, he only spoke to her once, and it was not exactly a cordial conversation. It was rebuke. So how can you say that Sarah Imenu is a greater prophetess than Avram Avinu when God spoke to her maybe once, and it was a state, as opposed to Avram Avinu, where God spoke to him all the time? And then Netziv advances an incredible idea. Then Netziv explains that there's a difference between Nevius and Ruach HaKodesh. Nevius means prophecy. Prophecy, God speaks, and that could occur in many different forms. On the basic level, it could mean that sometimes God delivers a message through the prophet. The prophet is the mouthpiece of God, like Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest example of this. God spoke to the cloud through Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the mouthpiece of the Ribono Shel Olam. Or sometimes the Nevius means you're able to see future events. That's different than Ruach HaKodesh. What's Ruach HaKodesh? Ruach HaKodesh is intuition. Ruach HaKodesh is life clarity. Ruach HaKodesh means an understanding of things for what they are. And says the Netziv, in this respect, Sarah Imenu was much greater than Avram. Avram was the prophet. Avram spoke to God. Avram was on a very close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you want to know who had greater life clarity, if you want to know who had greater understanding of things, if you want to know who had greater foresight, that was Sarah Imenu. Now, the Netziv attributes that to a whole variety of things. This is not, I feel like I'm giving my parsha shir again. But just quickly, the Netziv actually attributes that to the fact that every single time Sarah Imenu is referenced, she's almost always referenced in connection with what? In connection with her tent. With her tent. So the Netziv says something amazing. He says, to have real life clarity, you have to have time to think. You have to have time to process. You have to have time to engage, almost like in cognitive introspection. Avram Avinu did not have that. Why? Because Avram was out saving the world. So when you're out saving the world, one of the occupational hazards of saving the world is you have very little downtime. Sarah Imenu was also saving the world, but in a very different way. And her role allowed for her to have more contemplative time. And as such, she understood the reality of things better than her husband. And when did this come to a head? This came to a head with Yishmael. Sarah says, you got to get him out. And Avram says, what are you talking about? It's my job to save the world. I'm supposed to save the world, and I'm not supposed to save my own son. And Sarah Imenu says, you know what? There are some people you can't save. There are some people, or I should say differently, there are some people that can't be saved by you. Or there are some people that have to be saved in different types of circumstances. We need to focus on Yitzchak because he is the future. I know it's a hard decision, but you have to get Yishmael out of the house. Avram is resistant, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, Avram, Sarah knows what she's talking about with these things. You're blind to these things in a certain way because you see your mission in life, and that's to save the world. But over here, your mission is not to save. Here, your mission is to part ways. So what Rav Hirsch is referring to over here also is David HaMelech has moments of incredible clarity. Of incredible clarity. And they're not prophetic. They're not prophetic. They're not even necessarily inspired from above. They're just times, and we all have these moments in life. You know, we all have those moments of clarity where we see life for what it is. We know exactly what we have to do, when we have to do it. I mean, if you haven't had that moment yet, Emir Tashem Bayou, we all have those moments. And those are incredibly cathartic moments. Because most times in life, we actually usually operate in a fog. And it's a little bit hazy and it's a little bit gray. But there are moments when the clouds disperse and suddenly I see with such clarity what's right, what's wrong, what I need to be doing, what I don't need to be doing. And so says Rav Hirsch something amazing. You know what LeDavid is? LeDavid is not LeDavid Mizmar. LeDavid is not Mizmar LeDavid. It's not prophecy. It's not even self-inspiration. What it is pure and absolute clarity. So now we already know that we are in for something dramatically amazing. So now already, LeDavid is going to tell us, right now, this is David HaMelech speaking from the depths of his soul. If you want to know what I am about as a person, if you want to know what I hold near to me, if you want to know what I feel is ultimately important, it's going to be contained in this kapitel. And Rav Hirsch makes another amazing observation, which is, there's something else that's unique about this, which is this kapitel, you can't appreciate it fully because I didn't line it up, you know, pasuk. This kapitel is in the order of the aleph base. So if you'll notice again, now in certain psukim, it's not as obvious as others. Like for example, in pasuk aleph, it's a lecha. In pasuk beis, it's becha batachta. And then you could see pasuk gimel is gam, pasuk dalet is drachecha. It goes on. So it's ordered, it's arranged in the order of the aleph beis. Now obviously, that's not haphazard. Why does David HaMelech arrange this kapitel in the order of the aleph beis? Says Rav Hirsch. The alphabetical arrangement of the verses shows us that David intended this psalm to be kept not only before his own eyes, but in the minds of all the rest of mankind by constant repetition. Remember, understand something. When you arrange something alphabetically, what does that help with? Helps with memorization. You know what it also says? It's the ABCs. What David HaMelech is saying is this: what's contained in this kapitel, this is the aleph beis of Yiddishkeit. This is the aleph beis of Judaism that I am espousing over here in this particular kapitel. Now you could tell somebody that this is the aleph beis, but it's even more profound when what? When you actually arrange it according to the aleph beis. When the reader sees, oh my gosh, besides the fact that for a memory tool it's much easier, but this is the very lifeblood of Judaism contained within this kapitel. He goes on. The last verse of the psalm was added by David when he made this psalm part of Israel's national collection of hymns. In this manner, all the preceding verses, which seemed to apply to only one individual, were now made to apply to all of Israel as well. So first, there's something amazing. Apparently, David HaMelech, when he first wrote this psalm, and we'll discuss, not this year, but we'll discuss when he wrote it, what was happening. But here what's clear is like this. LeDavid, David HaMelech is pouring out his soul. These I'm sharing with you now, says David, the basics of what I feel to be the ABCs, the aleph beis of successful living. So David HaMelech originally writes it on his own. This is me. And then he realizes, you know what? It's not just me. One of the great things about Sefer Tehillim is what David HaMelech realized very quickly and early on is whatever struggles he was going to have are the same struggles that we have. And by the way, the most profound aspect of Sefer Tehillim is the validation of the struggle. You see, we often think that we struggle with things. And by the way, David HaMelech struggled with everything. He struggled, I'm not even going to call it hashkafically, because it wasn't hashkafic, so it was an emunah struggle. He struggled with his belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He struggled with his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He struggled in his marriage. He struggled with his children. He struggled with his friends. He struggled with everything. And what's amazing about Sefer Tehillim is sometimes when we struggle, we think it's a function of us doing something wrong. Instead, we have to realize that when we struggle, that's a function of being human. Struggle is part of the very fabric of the human condition. And David HaMelech validates the struggle by eternalizing these struggles ultimately through Sefer Tehillim. So what does David HaMelech do? So he goes and he writes this entire kapitel, which is filled with struggles, which we'll discuss. And then in Pasuk Chaf Beis, he says, but you know what? This is not just the narrative of my life. In reality, this is the narrative of the human condition. So how does he end off the end of the kapitel? By making it plural. Because remember, had he just ended off the kapitel in the singular, we could have read this and said what? Well said. Wow, you've got some serious issues you have to deal with, King David. But what does David HaMelech do? David HaMelech reframes it and ends it off in the plural to say, come on, don't fool yourself. Whatever I struggle with, says David HaMelech, we all struggle. We all have the same exact peckles. Some have a little larger, some have a little bit smaller, but everybody's got the same basic struggles in life. So now we see, again, Rav Hirsch has just given us, again, in a global sense, without even going through the entire theme of the kapitel, starts out LeDavid, because now we have, first of all, this is very exciting, exceptionally exciting, right? Good. Is the coffee caffeinated outside, or is there any decaf? Because, again, number one, we've just been introduced to a new category of psalm. which is very exciting. We only thought there were two. We thought there was L'David Mizmar and Mizmar L'David. Now we also understand there's a third of L'David. Not in a state of prophecy, not even in a state of, I won't call it depression, but in a depressed emotional state of self-inspiration. This is David HaMelech, just free flow consciousness. I'm just going to share with you what's in my soul. Goes through the struggles of his life, lest you think it's just him. Reframes the end by going ahead and saying what? Reframes the end by reframing it in the plural. Okay, so take a look at number three. The Malbim actually gives a very similar approach. Now, the reason why this is important also is because, as we've seen already, you have to know how to deal with every kapitel. Because there are some kapitlach where David HaMelech is just addressing an issue or a circumstance, and there are sometimes when David HaMelech is writing more globally. And so you have to know what the theme is in order to be able to properly understand his words. So what Rav Hirsch is saying is just understand, this is not about an event in David HaMelech's life. This kapitel is about David's life, life as a whole. And the Malbim says something very similar. He says, L'David Elecha Hashem es nafshi esa. Now the Malbim focus is more on the opening phrases, which is what we're really going to spend our time this morning on. So David HaMelech says, "Haktu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elecho Hashem, to you God, nafshi esa, I lift up my soul." Writes the Malbim, "Pasuk zeh hu kotav hamizmor v'yisodo." This opening phrase is like the title of this kapitel, and it is at the very core of the kapitel. Now remember, we've seen different kapitlach work different ways. Sometimes David HaMelech does share the very theme of the kapitel in the opening phrase, and sometimes he doesn't. So over here says the Malbim, when David HaMelech says, Elecha Hashem nafshi esa, that is the title of the kapitel. That is the theme of the entire kapitel. To you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I lift up my soul. Bo ye Amar, listen to the mashal that the Malbim gives. Shekemo shamore b'chitzim, yasim lo os she'elav yor lematara, Kain sam es Hashem la'os ulamatara el kol mevukol shava chavatzav. So the Malbim says, you know, when somebody is practicing archery, so what do they do? What's the first thing you have to do? You have to paint for yourself a target, right? You have to figure out what are you shooting towards. You know, the problem very often in life is people often shoot the arrow first and then paint the target around it. But that's not how life is actually supposed to work. In reality, what you're supposed to do is you first paint the target. Where am I going? Where do I need to go? What do I need to be? And then that's what you aim for. So says the Malbim something so beautiful, that this opening phrase, this is the target of David HaMelech's life. If you ask David HaMelech, what are you working towards? What are you aspiring towards? David HaMelech would have said, very simple, Elecha Hashem nafshi esa. If you want to know what I am working towards, I am working towards lifting up my soul to God. Now, what that means, we don't know yet. We'll have to figure that out. But what the Malbim is pointing out is this is not just a statement. This is a mantra. This is the mantra by which David HaMelech lived his life. This was his guiding light. Elecha Hashem esa nafshi. To you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I lift up my soul. Bein agashim, bein aruchniyim, v'amar rak elecha Hashem esa nafshi. Ato iker magamasi. David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to understand, this is the essence of the thrust of my existence. Everything I do, both in the material world as well as in the spiritual world, serves one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to lift up my soul to you. Shekol inyoni at, shekol inyoni atahu, tachlis mevukashi. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the one thing that I desire in life. And everything I do in life, both in the material world as well as in the spiritual world, is to allow me to actualize this mantra of lifting up my soul to you. Which then leads us to the obvious question, which is, what does this mean? What does it mean when David says that he wants to lift up his soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do we, what process is he describing? First of all, this is important because if this indeed is a Davidic mantra, and this kapitel David HaMelech is saying is not just about me, but it's about all of us, then what that means that in some way, somehow, this should be our mantra as well. That somehow, I guess, our guiding light of life should be Elecha Hashem nafshi esa, and lifting up my soul to you, which of course then behooves us to understand what this particular process actually means and what it entails. So I want to share with you a couple of approaches just in understanding this phrase. So again, to bring together what we have so far, we have Ravash telling us that we have now gained a window into David's soul. David is bearing his soul. This is not prophecy. This is not Nevios. It's not Ruach HaKodesh. It's just simply David sharing with us his most profound thoughts. Even though it starts in the singular, it then morphs into the plural, because whatever David is describing over here, both in terms of challenges as well as aspirations, applies to us all. Malbim says, David HaMelech is painting the bullseye. This capital is the bullseye of Jewish existence. And what's the bullseye? Elecha Hashem Nafshi Esa. The goal of the Jew, lift up my soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now let's explore what it means. So we're going to look at Emir Hashem, time permitting, four different approaches. So take a look. We begin with the Medrash. So the Medrash says, Davar Acher, Elecha Hashem Nafshi Esa, Yalkut Shemoni, what does it mean to lift up my soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Zesh Amar HaPasuk, Biyadcha Afkid Ruchi. You know what it means? The same way that we give over our soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Benoik Sheba Olam Adam, Mafkidin Eslo Pikdonos, Humachliv Shel Zebaze. Actually, skip down a little bit. Three lines in. End of the third line after the period. You see Amar Rabbi Alexandri. Okay? So number four, three lines in. Amar Rabbi Alexandri. Basar Vedam, Mafkidin Biyado Chadoshim, So says the Medrash, says Rabbi Alexandri, what happens if you go ahead and you give someone something, whether you lend it to them or you give it to them as collateral? So what ends up happening when you lend something to someone? Inevitably, what occurs? You never really get the item back in the same state in which you lent it. Why? Because by definition, it's just the wear and tear. So whether I'm giving as collateral or ultimately lending something, I give something to someone, I never really get the fully, I never get the same object back. He said, but listen to this. But yet, v'akodesh baruch hu, literally it means, v'machzirin beluyin u'shchukin. You lend someone something, and I get it back a little bit more worn out. V'akodesh baruch hu, mafkidin b'yado beluyin u'shchukin, v'hu machzirin chadashim. But what does God do? Every single night, I give him something that is a little bit worn out, a little bit sullied, a little bit, maybe he's got a couple of dents, a couple of dings, a couple of scratches on it. And what happens? I give it to him all messed up. And what happens? Hu machzir chadashim. And Yina Kadosh Baruch Hu gives it back to me in a state of newness. Tei delecha, shekina poel hazeh osa melecha kalayom, v'nafsho yegea v'alav shechuka. And he says, Alexandri, what happens? The worker does his work the whole day. Who's the worker? The worker is us. We work a whole day, and what happens? My soul gets worn out. My soul gets a little bit compromised. V'shachris hu choseres l'gufo b'riyah chadasha. And yet in the morning, what do I get back? I get back a brand new soul. So if you wake up and you smell that brand new soul smell, that is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has just given each of us back a brand new neshama. The greatest chesed that the Ribono Shel Olam does for us is that we return to him when we go to sleep a damaged soul. Because over the course of the day, inevitably, whether intentionally or unintentionally, the soul gets damaged. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's not a problem. There's no deductible. You don't have to worry about your coverage. Whatever you've done to it over the course of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us one simple assurance. I will cleanse it. I will purify it, I will nurture it, and I will give it back to you stronger than ever the next morning. That says, he says, Shachris Uchozes Gufo Shine Amar Chadashim comes. So the Medrash says something amazing. That's what it means. L'David, Elecha Hashem Nafshi Esa. Now what David HaMelech is saying is that Kadosh Baruch Hu, I recognize that at the end of the day, I have to be willing to give up my soul to you. Now, what does this mean? When we talk about this concept, people often associate it with dying al kiddush Hashem, giving up my soul. That's not what we're referring to over here. In Rav Soloveitchik writes, he says that whenever people talk about kiddush Hashem, they always associate it with dying. So the Rav says, dying al kiddush Hashem is actually quite easy. You know why? Because you only have to do it once. Living al kiddush Hashem is a much greater challenge, because that you have to rise to the occasion each and every day. So David HaMelech is saying over here, Elecha Hashem Nafshi Esa means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I put my soul in your hands. Now again, the way the Medrash understands that is because when we go to sleep at night, what we have to do is we have to yield a certain amount of control. my soul, literally, whatever this means, the Gemara says that sleep is 1/60th of death. I'm giving you my soul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the hope, with the expectation, without any guarantees, that you're going to give it back to me the next morning. But if we amplify this a little bit more, what David HaMelech is really saying is, Eilecha Hashem Nafshi Esa means, God, I yield control to you. I understand that there are circumstances beyond my control. We discussed a little bit in our Monday evening tefillah shir. I understand that there are circumstances beyond my control. I understand that in things in our life that I simply cannot control. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I hereby willingly give up my control to you. Now, this is a very important concept because it's very often misused and misunderstood. People often use the Aleph word, emunah, right, as a license to not do anything in life. Hashem ya'azor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of me. It's up to God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of those who take care of themselves. So a person is supposed to rely on God, but reliance on God only comes when it is properly coupled with human hishtadlus. There has to be a significant amount of human effort. But human effort must also be laced with a healthy dose of humility, because a person must also realize that my efforts only go so far. My reach only extends so much. I could control the process, but I absolutely cannot control the results. And here what David HaMelech is saying is something absolutely amazing. If there was one person who was most prone to fall prey to kochi va'otzem yadi, to think, to rely on his own might, to think that he was self-sufficient, to think that he could control everything, would have been who? It would have been the king. Because remember, you know, when people give you covid, it's a very dangerous thing, because you can actually begin to think that you're greater than you actually are. You could begin to lose a sense of humility. That's why it's good to be married. Right? But again, so the king is most prone to thinking, oh, I'm totally self-reliant. I can do whatever I want. And what's amazing over here? David HaMelech is saying, I'm the king. And remember, David HaMelech was not just the king. Under David HaMelech's rule, understand this, you can imagine this, Eretz Yisrael span included Syria. So if you can imagine, you open up a map when you get home, and you'll take a look at where current day Syria is, and imagine that the borders of Eretz Yisrael go all the way through Syria. It's even larger than biblical Israel. It's more than biblical Israel. Biblical Israel is big also, but this is even bigger than biblical Israel. David HaMelech was one of the most feared leaders in the world at that time. He was not just the king of the Jews. You know, we think of as the king of the Jewish people. He was a significant force to be reckoned with. The other kings paid him tribute. He was the strongest monarch in the region. And yet, what does he say? Eilecha Hashem nafshi esa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I realize I'm not in control. Yes, I'm going to put in incredible hishtadlus. I'm going to put in incredible effort because I have to do my part. But I'm also humble enough to know that I don't and I can't control everything. And therefore, I willingly, see, here's the difference. There are two ways that you could give control to God. You could give it to him de facto, because at the end of the day, you just realize that you can't control everything. So by definition, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, but I'm resentful of it. I'm upset over it. I really don't like it. Or you could give up the reins of control willingly. You could say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's scary not to have control. It's scary not to be able to control the circumstances around me, but I willingly and lovingly give up those reins to you, because I trust in you, my loving, benevolent Father, that you are going to take care of me. So I willingly give you that control. Again, the result is the same regardless. God has the control. The question is how I choose to approach that dynamic. And the greatness of David HaMelech is he willingly, lovingly delivers those reins of control to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eilecha Hashem nafshi esa. I put my soul in your hands, because at the end of the day, I recognize that you have control, and even better than that, I'm okay with it. I'm actually b'shalom with it. I accept it. Not accept it de facto, not accept it because I don't have a choice. I accept it because I truly believe that it's the best thing for me and it's the best thing for the universe. Look at the second approach. Number five, the Alshich. So the Alshich here comments again, another beautiful idea. He says, L'David eilecha Hashem nafshi esa. So again, according to our first approach of the Medrash, why is this a mantra? Because the mantra for the Jew, says David HaMelech, is yield control to God. Yield control to God. Don't yield all the control to God, because God doesn't control everything. We control many things ourselves, but ultimately yield ultimate control to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and yield it lovingly. Yield it lovingly, not begrudgingly. You can make that into a bumper sticker. So says the Al-Sheikh, number five, second approach. L'David Eloch HaShem Nafshi Esa, Hinei Derech Ha'olam, Kim Yishlach Ish Daron, L'Gadol Haymeno, She Yeshuar Eichus HaDaron L'Fiyah Mishalech L'Fiyah Mekabal. So says the Al-Sheikh, and I include a little biography over here so you could see a little bit about the Al-Sheikh. So the Al-Sheikh says, when you give a gift to someone, so gift giving is very subjective. What's the first thing you have to figure out when you give a gift? Who are you giving to? Who are you giving it to? And you have the gift has to somehow match the standing of the individual. So Al-Kin Amar David, Bama Akadein Panach Allah Seis Lecha Maseis V'doro, Ki alo lefanach ani ma'arech atzmi lemelech. Ani ma'arech atzmi lemelech. Ki im leDavid mishulam mitu hamalchus va'ato Hashem ein aruch elecha. So David HaMelech says has a problem. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what am I supposed to give you? I want to give you something. But what do you give the God who has it all? Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to give you something. So David HaMelech says, I'll tell you, I don't even know what to give you because in front of you, you see everybody else, David HaMelech says, refers to me as David HaMelech or Melech David. But before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what I am? I'm simply David. See, according to the Al-Sheikh, what LeDavid means is exceptional humility. Before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are no appellations. Before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are no titles. Before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no human covet. Before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm simply regular David. I'm the David who was a shepherd, I'm the David who was a soldier, and I'm the David who was a king. So I'm humbled before you. So what could I give you? What could I give you, Ribono Shel Olam, that is of value? And look what David HaMelech says. Im kein ezu doron yeroi lecha mimeni. What could I give you? Ein li nichbad minafshi. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have something that I know you'll love. And I have something that I know you'll treasure. And that's my soul. Ki ruchanis v'chelek elokami ma'alhi. Why? Because ultimately it's that very neshama that is a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that God has taken from his very essence and has implanted in each of us. V'zehu omro lo David kilomar lihiyosi David mishulal tohar odir malchus kimechad am. And says the Ashik, that's meaning in the kapitel, lo David, I'm just a regular guy, I'm not the king in front of you. V'hadoron hu eilecho Hashem. And what is the gift that I will give you? I will give you nafshi esa. What will I give you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I'll give you my soul. Now, just before we explain it, look at number six, another medrash. The medrash says so beautifully, Reb Simo b'shem Rabbi Shimon, Bizman shebeis hamikdash kayom, Adam chote v'nosei karban, u'miskaper lo. So when the Beis HaMikdash stood, and when it will Amir Tashem stand again, a person sins, what does he give to God? He gives to God a karban, and the karban, it karban atones, Achshav she'in anu nosin karban. But now that we don't have a karban, what can we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hare nafshenu nesua lach. What do we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the absence of a karban? The only one thing we have to give, which is our neshama. So what's happening over here? What David HaMelech is saying in this kapitel is, you know, we place emphasis on all different things in life. And if you ask people to make a list of what's important to them, they'll give you a whole variety of lists. My family is important, my friends are important, my relationships, my health, my parnasa. Yes, of course, spiritual growth as well is also important. And they might even be in the top, in one of the top slots. David HaMelech says, understand one thing. Everything in life is fleeting. Everything in life is temporal. You want to hear something amazing? Even our relationships. Relationships are important, and good relationships are important, but relationships do not endure. Relationships are only so long as you're alive. But remember, life as we know it here is only one very small part of the existence of our neshama. So David HaMelech says, what is the one thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu I could give you? What do you give to the God who is eternal? The one piece of me that is eternal as well. And that's my neshama. David HaMelech says, Eilecha leDavid, Eilecha Hashem nafshi esa. There is only one thing that has enduring value. There is only one thing that has eternality, and that is our neshama. That's the only thing after 120 that we have to present to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what David HaMelech is saying, something amazing. And this could be a shir by itself, but we're going to move on to the next topic, which is, we don't fully appreciate the concept that we have a neshama. We don't fully appreciate the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a little piece of himself and he put that into me. You understand what that means? What that means is that each of us are quasi-divine. What that means is that each of us resembles Ribono Shel more than we even care to acknowledge. What it means is that each of us has the incredible capacity for holiness in every stage of our lives. David HaMelech says, we go through life and we forget about the exceptional treasure that sits right within us. L'David, you want to know what the most important thing in life is? Eilecha Hashem nafshi esa. Nurture your soul. Make sure that you're taking care of your soul. Make sure that you're nourishing that neshama, because you know why? That's the one thing you're going to have for all eternity. Again, it doesn't mean to ignore the other things. A person has to nourish their relationships also. A person has to nourish their body as well. But at the end of the day, make sure to take care of the one thing. There's only one thing in life that is eternal. Your relationships are not eternal. Your friendships are not eternal. Even your accomplishments are not eternal. Your neshama is eternal. And so it says David HaMelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I give you my neshama, which is another way of saying that David HaMelech is articulating a commitment to somehow take care of, nourish, and nurture his neshama. Now, how you do that, we'll have to see in the rest of the kapitel. Right now, all we're doing for today is trying to frame what this mantra of David HaMelech is. So again, according to first approach in the Medrash, the mantra is emunah. The mantra is, I willingly and lovingly place the reins of control in your hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the mantra. According to the second approach, the Al-Sheikh, also in the Medrash, the mantra is, nurture your neshama, because it is the only thing you have in life, in this world and in the next, which ultimately is eternal. Number seven, a third approach. Again, the Al-Sheikh. So here, this is very interesting because this ties us back to what we spoke about in last week's kapitel. So here, the Al-Sheikh writes, O Yomar, hine no yadati ki ba'avoni hayachil Hashem. So David says, I know that my sin caused chilul Hashem. What sin is he referring to? Bathsheba. Now remember again, you don't always have this, but sometimes chapters of Tehillim do blend into each other. So what did we say in last week? Remember what happened in last week's capital? Remember, I quoted you the Gemara that we quoted last week as well. Su'ush arim rasheichem. What was David HaMelech asking from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I know, God, you forgive me, but what? What did David HaMelech want? Give me a sign. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to him? Sorry, not during your lifetime, but it'll happen during the lifetime of your son Shlomo. So says the Al-Sheikh, amazingly enough, this kapitel Chaf Hei is David HaMelech's response to Chaf Dalet. In Chaf Dalet, David HaMelech asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness. God gave it to him. David HaMelech has a follow-up request. Give me a sign that I am forgiven. And God says no. God says no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll give you the sign, but not the way you want it, the way I want it, when Shlomo is going to consecrate the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Al-Sheikh number 7. David HaMelech says, Hine yadati ki ba'avoni hayachil Hashem, v'lo yuchupar ad omos. David HaMelech says, I know that my sin caused the chilul Hashem, caused the desecration of your name. I was the king, and I acted in a way that I shouldn't, and therefore I desecrated your name, and I know that I will not find external forgiveness from you until I die. V'hein emes, gam shebetzeis nafshi eilecha ba'avoni lo tered she'ola ala avon, kim adrab tiela hisnasus lefanecha. So look at the Al-Sheikh says, if you look again at that passage, David says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'David. David is now responding. I know now that you're not going to give me a sign of forgiveness in my lifetime. But I also know that when I die, I'm not going to go to Gehenna for that sin. I know that you have forgiven me for my sin, even though what? Even though what? You have not given me the sign, and therefore, Eilecha Hashem nafshi esa. I know that when I leave this world, my soul will ascend to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not to some other place where I have to be cleansed from the sin, because I know that you have forgiven me. So amazingly enough, according to this approach of the Al-Sheikh, what David HaMelech is saying in Kapitel Chaf Hei is, he's accepting the fact that he will not receive a tangible sign of divine forgiveness for the episode of Bathsheba during his lifetime. So what's unique about this particular approach is, perhaps it's not as global as we thought before, but instead it's David HaMelech's response. You told me I'm not going to be forgiven. I had a lot of trouble with that. I don't understand why you would do that to me. Why would you let me spend the rest of my life being a sinner in the eyes of others? I know you've forgiven me, but everyone else thinks I'm an adulterer like we saw last week. But okay, that's your decision. That's how you understand it has to happen. I accept it. But I also know, I'm so confident in your forgiveness that I know that when I leave this world, Elecha Hashem nafshi asa. My soul will ascend directly to you because I know that I have a place that is near the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which then leads us now to our last approach. Number 9. Write the Metzudas David. And this is quite amazing. He says, Esa is inyon mincha v'doron. So interestingly enough, the way we translated the word Esa is that Esa means lift up. L'David, Elecha Hashem nafshi Esa. I will lift up my soul to you, which of course makes sense, especially according to the approach we just mentioned. However, the Metzudas David says that Esa doesn't just mean lift up. Esa means to give as a gift. To give as a gift. Where does he get that from? So he quotes the Pasuk in Bereishis, Vayisa masas me'is panav aleihem, Vatarav masas inyon masas kulam. So where does he get this? From the Pasuk in Bereishis. Now what is this referring to? This is where the brothers are in Egypt trying to buy food. Yosef is the viceroy. Yosef has not yet revealed himself to his brothers, so they think he's just the viceroy. And this is the first trip down. They come, they want to buy food, and he loads up. Vayisa masas me'is panav aleihem. Yosef takes incredible gifts, masas, vayisa masas. He lifts up gifts, and he gives it to them. And ultimately, the Torah says he gave Binyamin 5 times as much as the other brothers, vayishtuvishka, and they sat down and they ate and they drank together. So the Metzudas David says, the word Esa does not mean to lift up, not simply to lift up, but rather the word Esa means to lift up as a gift. As a gift. And in fact, the Ibn Ezra, number 11, quoting on this pasuk in Bereishis, vayisa masas doron. So Sukkot Radak says in number 12. Writes to Radak, so what's happening over here? Why? What does it mean Yosef is giving a gift? He's not giving a gift. At the end of the day, the brothers brought money. They were going to pay for what they bought. So why does the Torah use this lashon that Vayisa Masas, Yosef gave them a gift? Look what Radak says. V'chol ze'akiruv shekirbam, shekarvam, v'shechabdam, chashvuhem, ki haya osa chalav mashek nitam v'tziaram. So says Radak something amazing. What was Yosef doing? Yosef was purposely treating them the opposite way than they treated him. Even before he reveals himself to his brothers, Yosef has to work on himself to get past the rage, to get past the anger. Yosef sees his brothers. And remember, what happens? He cries. He doesn't know, should he be happy to see them? Should he be nostril flaring mad over what they... It's a conflict of emotions. And amazingly enough, as you read the Yosef story, what's truly amazing about it is Yosef works through his feelings. People often think that they could change how they feel in a moment. You can't change how you feel in a moment. You have to work through your emotions. Yosef HaTzadik has conflicted emotions about how he feels with his brothers. And that's why, again, it appears sometimes almost like schizophrenic behavior on the part of Yosef. On one hand, he treats them so beautifully, invites them to come and join him. And then what does he do? And then he imprisons Shimon. And then he makes them cry. And then he put Yaakov Avinu in distress. What? Yosef is struggling. Yosef is struggling with what to do, how to react. But says Radak, in this moment he made a conscious decision, I am not like you. I am not like you. When I was in your clutches, you mistreated me and you hurt me. And I am going to do the exact opposite. What am I going to do? I'm going to bring you, even you think Yosef had lunch, he had dinner with every single person that came to buy wheat in Egypt. Egypt was the only place in the entire regional Middle East that had food. There are people coming in from all over. Yosef probably didn't even, because it didn't meet them, it was in the palace. But yet, says Radak, what does it mean, Vayisa? What was the gift? What was the gift? The gift was that he did not treat them as they treated him. The gift was that he did not reciprocate. He did not reciprocate the negative behavior. Or in other words, that perhaps what's happening over here is that Esa, Masa, gift, really doesn't refer to just any gift, but it refers to a gift that is not necessarily earned. Not necessarily earned. So what does that mean? L'David, Elecha Hashem Nafshi Esa. Perhaps what David HaMelech is saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm giving you my soul as a gift. Esa. But what? And this is going to sound strange when I say it, but you'll listen to the end of the sentence. Even though you don't deserve it. What does that mean? What David HaMelech was saying is that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot be quid pro quo. We do not have a tit-for-tat relationship with God. We do not have a, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You do for me, and I'm going to be your devoted servant. That is not how a meaningful, I mean, that's a childish relationship. But that is not how an adult, thoughtful, real relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be created. And so David HaMelech says something amazing. Eilecho Hashem nafshi esa. What does esa mean? What kind of gift? Again, what kind of gift? A non-earned gift. A gift bechinam, for free, right? I'm not, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I've suffered a lot. And I've suffered more than most people should have to suffer. And yes, I've made mistakes, but God, come on. Put all of my good on one side of the scale. Put all of my bad on the other side of the scale. And I guarantee you that my good is going to outweigh the negative. And that's not risk. That's not arrogance. That's MS. And the truth is, the good news is that's true for most of us. If you put the good that we did on one side and the negative things, virtually for all of us, the good outweighs the bad. And then Adam says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, if I was a critical person, I'd say, the way you're treating me is not right. It's not right. I've done what you've asked. I fulfilled your commandments. I made mistakes. I'm a human being. I'm frail. You, God, created me with my frailties. True, I made my decisions. But you know what the great thing is, Kadosh Baruch Hu? Eilecho Hashem nafshi esa. It's not quid pro quo. I'm not keeping a scorecard. I don't have a connection with you because of what you have or what you haven't done for me. I have a relationship with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's what's necessary for me to be a successful individual in this world and in the next. Esau is not just a gift, but it's a gift with no strings attached. It's a gift that's not predicated on past performance. It's a gift that's not predicated on someone else doing something. It's a gift because I want to give. Here, David HaMelech teaches us one of the Ikri Amuna. Sometimes we are so childish and immature in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we ask God for something and we don't get it. And sometimes if something is very important. Sometimes if something is health for ourselves or for our loved one. Sometimes something is parnasa. Sometimes if something is very legitimate things and we don't get it. And we feel so wronged by God. And we say, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did all of this. I did all of this, almost like a child saying, I cleaned my room, I took out the garbage, I did everything, and you're not going to give me my allowance? David HaMelech says, that's not a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are not in a utilitarian relationship with God where I do things for Him and He does things for me. That's how we start in our childish conception, our relationship with God. But the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Eilecho Hashem nafshi esa. I give you a gift of my soul, even if what David HaMelech says, even if you give me nothing in return. Because at the end of the day, we all know that there is never nothing in return. Let's go on. Take a look at number 13. Just to develop this theme a little bit more. Antigonus writes, Mishnah Maseches Avos. He says, Al tiyu ka'avadim. Antigonus ishtocho kibol mishnah tzadik. Do not be like servants who worship the master on the condition to receive reward. Rather, worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like servants who worship the master, not for the sake of receiving reward. And interestingly enough, Rashi, in his commentary on this Mishnah, in the last three words, he says, Elo avud me'ahava. How am I supposed to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Not as a servant. You know, no matter how much you love your job, if your employer shows up and tells you, listen, you're doing great, we love you, we value, only one little issue, we can no longer pay you. I think most people, no matter how much you love your job, you'll say, thank you very much, I love you too also. Now the love is a little bit less that there's no paycheck, but much hatzlacha, I'm going to have to... So says Antigonus, that's not how you worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't be like the servant who shows up and punches the clock and expects something for payment afterwards, but rather be like the servant who worships, who serves not for the sake of serving reward. It says Rashi, what does that mean? Be ahava, out of love. Now what's amazing is, and I actually quoted this past Shabbos, there's another Mishnah in Avos, number 15. The Mishnah says... Kol ahava shehi teluya b'davar. Any love that is dependent on something, batel davar, batel ahava. So if you have love that is dependent on something, love is. So what happens if the something disappears, the love disappears as well. V'she'ina teluya b'davar. But if love is not based on something, meaning it's just love, eina b'teil liolam, then it stands forever. And this Mishnah always bothered me. Why? Because love is always based on something. There's no such thing as loving someone for no reason. A person finds a spouse. So why is it that a person chooses to marry A instead of B? obviously there's something in that individual that draws me to them more than someone else. There's no such thing as love that's ungrounded, love that's not rooted. Maybe lust could be like that, but love ultimately always has to be about something. So what does it mean when it says that that only love that's not totally bedavar, that's not dependent on something, will last forever? Look at the Bar Tanur, number 16. He says you have to add in one word in the Mishnah. Kol ahava shehi teluya bedavar batal. She'eno miskayim, k'she yispatal ha'davar. So says the Bar Tanur, you have to add in one word in the Mishnah. Kol ahava, any love, she'hi teluya bedavar batal, batal. Batal ha'davar, batal ahava. Any love that is rooted in something that is fleeting, any love that is rooted in something that could disappear, any love that is rooted in something that ultimately is temporal, that love will not endure. Because once the item, once the thing that sparked the love is gone, the love will evaporate as well. On the other hand, if a love is built on a davar she'eino batel, if a love is built on strong things that do not dissipate or disappear, then that love will endure. And now we understand what's happening over here. When Antigonus says to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a servant who doesn't do it for reward, which means Rashi says, serve me ahava. What Antigonus is actually saying is, make sure that your love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is based on things that are real, is based on things that won't be batel, things that won't evaporate or dissipate. Because if your love for God is based on things that will evaporate or dissipate, then what's going to happen? The love is going to evaporate as well. And that's David HaMelech is saying over here. Eilecha, David, Eilecha Hashem, nafshi esa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've come to realize that I need to forge a relationship with you for the right reasons, not because I want stuff. So many of us connect with God because we want stuff, and turning to God because we want stuff is part of our relationship. But that can't be the entirety of the relationship. Because inevitably what happens over life, over the course of life, you don't always get what you want. And so if my entire relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is based on getting stuff from God, that is a davar batel, and such a love will not endure. But if I build a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for reasons that are not batel, for reasons that will never evaporate, like for reasons that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my rock, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one thing in this world that is constant, in a world that is ever-changing, where life could change directly on a dime, it is comforting and it is empowering to root yourself to something that is a constant, something that does not change. Belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills me with optimism. Belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for all different reasons. Belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes in and fills me with hope. The knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks after me, these are reasons to forge a relationship. But to get stuff, that's a nice byproduct. But that can't be the sum total of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, according to this fourth approach, when David HaMelech says, Eilecha Hashem nafshi esa, David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I give you my soul as a matnas chinam, as a free gift, not even because you've earned it, God, not even because you deserve it, because the truth is I've suffered terribly. But at the same time, I want to give it to you, because my relationship with you is something that is meaningful to me and that well transcends any stuff that I may get in some type of arrangement of reciprocity. So if we bring this all together, with this we'll have to stop. If we bring this all together, what we have over here is the following. Just this is just our introduction to this kapitel. Remember, we haven't even gotten into the actual kapitel itself. But just in general, here's what we know. We know LeDavid, that David HaMelech is giving us, again, a window into his soul. This is not prophecy. This is not even inspiration. This is just the things that I think. And David HaMelech says, I'm going to give you, going to give us, a mantra for successful living. That's why I'm going to arrange it according to the Aleph Beis so that you'll remember it. I'm going to arrange it according to the Aleph Beis so that you realize that these are the fundamentals, these are the building blocks of Yiddishkeit. We saw, again, this is the bullseye that everybody is supposed to aspire to. So what does this mantra mean? We saw, again, first approach was that Eilecha Hashem nafshi esa emunah. I place the reins of life control in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu lovingly, not begrudgingly. Second approach was the Al-Sheikh and the Medrash. At the end of the day, the only thing of enduring value we have is our neshama. Love it, nurture it, and nourish it. our third approach, which was again the Alshich, a little bit of a different approach. Here, what's happening in this kapitel, David HaMelech is accepting the fact that he will not be forgiven for the sin of Bathsheba, or at least I should say differently, that he won't receive an external tangible display of forgiveness during his lifetime, but he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven him, and therefore when I die, Elecha Hashem Nafshi Es, I know my soul will ultimately ascend to you. And finally, our fourth approach, which was based on the Metzudas David, Esa means Matnas Chinam, a free gift, not a reciprocal gift, not a non-earned gift. And the David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as much as I've suffered, understand, God, I am not in a quid pro quo relationship with you. I'm not in a tit for tat. I'm not in a reciprocal. It's not that you do for me and I do for you. I'll do for you even when I feel you're not adequately doing for me. I'll do for you even when I feel that maybe you've forsaken me. Remember, David HaMelech is the one who said, Keli, Keli, lama azavtani. David HaMelech is the one who articulated this feeling of feeling forsaken by God, left alone by God, bereft of God. And yet that same David says, even when I feel you've left me, even when I feel you're gone, even when I feel you didn't have my back, I still give you my neshama. Elecha Hashem nafshi esa. And here in this mantra, David HaMelech teaches us that when constructing a meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it can't be because we're going to get stuff. It can't be because of what God is going to do for us, and He will do plenty for us. But a meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins with my desire to connect. And that desire to connect transcends anything I may receive in some type of reciprocal relationship. That desire to connect really transcends a lot, because the desire to connect gives me so much more. It gives me stability. It gives me optimism. It gives me hope. It anchors me to the one solid, predictable thing in this world, and that's the Ribono Shel Olam. L'David, Elecha Hashem Nafshi Esa. In this kapitel, David HaMelech tells us the mantra for Jewish living, and Emirat Hashem, we'll fill in the details in the coming shiurim.